So with that said, you know, I know some of us have Father's Day outings planned, and I understand time is running, but let's hear what the Lord has to say real quick. Amen. Come with me to the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And what we're going to be doing is reading the first through fourth verses. And some of us are already getting a sneak peek at this scripture and we already upset. And I understand. We're going to be talking about it today. Ephesians, the sixth chapter, first through fourth verses. If you don't know where Ephesians is in your Bible, if you have a physical Bible, you go to the table of contents. There is a table of contents. It is in the New Testament section. And it's kind of toward the beginning, okay? You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Once you are there, go to that page number, and then you go to the sixth chapter. That's the big number six, or it might say chapter six in your Bible. Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And then once you're there, come with me to the first verse. We're going to be reading the first through fourth verses. That's going to be the sermon text for today. Again, in the interest of time, I'm going to go ahead and read it out of the Christian Standard Bible version. You will find similar words printed in your text. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 reads as follows. It says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 3, so that it may go well with you, and that you may have a long life in the land. Verse 4, fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Today I want to come from the subject of honorable fathers. Honorable fathers. A day like today is easy for me personally, because not only do I have the opportunity to be a father, to actually raise my child as, you know, his father, but I also get to celebrate my father who is here today, the Deacon Gary Brooks. Amen. Amen. I know the cameras are panning to him. Amen. It's easy for me to celebrate Deacon Brooks, Dad, because he's been the example of an honorable father. He's been the example at home. He's been the example here at church. He's been the same person everywhere. He has been there my entire life. He's still here. He has treated my mom well. He's treated us well when we weren't getting whoopings and whatnot. He's been a great father. And in fact, he's been such a good father that other people want to claim him as their dad. I have heard from certain people that they wish that they had Deacon Brooks as their dad. And I've heard that from a couple of people. So it's easy for someone like me to celebrate a day like today. However, it's not so easy for all of us. It's not so easy when your dad has never been in the house. Or maybe your dad was in and out of the house. It's harder to celebrate when your dad was verbally abusive or even physically abusive. It's hard to celebrate a dad on a day like this, a day where we're supposed to be honoring dads, and your dad is not necessarily an honorable father. But I have come to share some news with you today. And I'm just letting you know, some of you may not like this sermon. You may not. But this is what the Word of God says. Let's talk about what actually makes a father worthy of honor. What makes a father worthy of honor? Is it because he's in the house? Is it because he goes to work? Is it because he treats people right? Is it what are the criteria required to celebrate a father? What makes a father worthy of honor? And if I'm reading this text correctly, what makes a father worthy of honor? You ready for this? Being a father. Now, don't walk out yet. There's more to come. Don't turn it off yet. There's more to come. But if we're reading this scripture, just straight up. In fact, in Ephesians 6:1, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." Parents meaning both mother and father. Obey them because what? This is right. Now, stick with me. Stick with me. When we talk about our relationship with our father, naturally what happens, and this has been attested to in articles and books and even just in experience, naturally what happens is that our relationship with our earthly father influences our relationship with our heavenly father. Let me say it like this. The way we relate to our earthly dad can somehow influence how we relate to our heavenly dad. If your earthly dad was around and providing, then it's easy for you to think of God as a provider, as a nurturer, as a caretaker, as one who instructs you well. It's easy to think of that. But when your dad was not around, what tends to happen, it doesn't happen with everyone, what tends to happen is that if your father was not around, it's really hard to believe in a God that's around. When your earthly father was abusive, it's hard to see God as anything other but abusive. It's hard to do that because what naturally happens is that our earthly relationship influences our spiritual relationship. But here's where scripture comes in, and this is why Paul is talking to these Christians about relationships, because surprise, surprise, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean everything gets fixed at home. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that the family starts talking to you. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that Father's Day gets easier. And so Paul is talking to these people, reminding them what it's like to be in Christ. Again, and so when he uses this phrase, in the Lord, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is right. So what actually happens is, after all of the teaching that's been happening in Ephesians, after all of the character formation that's based on the cross of Christ and on the Holy Spirit indwelling in you, after the spiritual maturity happens, what actually happens is that when you are in the Lord, our spiritual relationship influences our earthly one. Now that we're connected with God and in a different way, now that we understand that he is a loving father, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, even though your dad may have left, your earthly dad may have left you and forsaken you, our heavenly father will never leave us nor forsake us. And once you understand that, it helps you to treat your earthly father different. And why? Why is this a big deal? Because in this portion of scripture, Paul has been talking about how authority should work. As a Christian, how to make sure that, you know, the whole wife and husband dynamic works. And then right after this is how the, they call it the slave and the master. This could be translated to employee, employer relations work. So God is in a, so Paul is in the middle of talking about how structures work. And one of the most important structures, along with employer, employee, and along with wife and husband, is the child and their parents. And so what Paul is trying to get to, which is what God is trying to get us to understand, is that he wants us to respect the position, even when it's hard to respect the person. Those are not comforting words to hear. Those are not going to make everything better. But what you, if some of you may have haven't noticed, our world now, well, let me just talk about America, because I don't know every place like that. But let me talk about America. People always talk about how disrespectful Americans have become. Have you noticed that? You know, in the past, we used to have so much more respect, right? And now we just have no respect. Case in point, you know, we've had a few presidents lately that people just cannot respect their position because they don't respect them as a person. However, God has always been teaching us to respect the position. And all of that starts in the home. And when our homes are broken and we don't learn how to offer respect in the home, it just, you know, spreads and permeates. And so God is teaching us to respect the position. Now, don't worry. That's not the end of the sermon. We got some more to go. He's teaching us that even though you may have had a dishonorable father, at the very least, we know it's hard to respect the person, but at the very least, respect the position. Why? Because it is right. It is what God ordained. It is what God put together. Now, again, not easy to hear, but there's more to come. There's more to come. Verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that what? It may go well with you. So then, what does that say? You will be rewarded for obeying God. You will be rewarded for your obedience. You will be rewarded for your obedience. But let's keep going, because again, our minds are still turning. Not only will it go well with you, but you will have a long life in the land. So let me say it like this, because again, you know, we've been listening, but we don't understand. Why should I honor a deadbeat dad? Why should I honor an abusive dad? Why should I do it? Because if the word of God is true, honoring your earthly father is good for your health. Let me say that again. Honoring your earthly father is good for your health. It's bad enough that they weren't around to take care of you and to be concerned about your health. But it would be worse if you doing something that's going to make your health worse. Honoring your earthly father is good, according to the Bible, is good for your health. Now, what is that? How does that translate into real life? Not only will God bless you, not only because it says it's the first commandment with a promise, not only will God bless you, but if you really think about it, if you have read the articles and whatnot, I believe I've presented this before, but scientists have spent millions and millions of dollars doing research on what makes people live long. And the answer, again, after millions and millions of dollars of research, years and years of study, the answer is people live long when they're happy. That's what it is. So I think Paul is pointing out something deep here, is that if you can find peace in your heart, you will live longer and you will live better. That includes having that relationship with your father. If you can get to a point in your heart where you can forgive your father, and you can even maybe send him a card or a text or something, and you not feel weird about it, you not feel off about it, but that you're actually doing it because God has blessed you and you've got a heavenly father and he's been taking care of you and he's stepped in and maybe even had others step in and be the father, the dad that you needed to be, that you needed. And that you know that this dad doesn't deserve it, but just because he is a father, he deserves some type of honor. Even if it's just a simple Happy Father's Day text, you will live longer. That's what the Bible says. You've got to get that peace in your heart. And that peace only comes through Jesus Christ. One of the Holy Spirit's fruits is peace. When the Holy Spirit indwells you and works on you, he brings peace, he brings love, he brings joy, he brings all of these fruits of the Spirit. And when you're able to do that, you actually live longer and you live better. Some people, in fact, I would say a lot of people, get sick because they're just sad. Now, the doctor's not going to say that. The doctor's going to say high blood pressure. The doctor's going to say, elevated, levels of this and that. That's what the doctor's going to say. But when it comes down to it, all of this is happening and all of these symptoms are real because you never forgave him. And now you're in a hospital bed at a real young age. Now you're dealing with life-threatening issues, all because you held on to that hate, all that anger. And not only has your dad messed up your childhood, now he's messed up your adulthood too. Honoring your earthly father is good for your health. And so what I encourage you to do is to find ways to honor your father, listen, while protecting yourself. I understand that some of us, for safety reasons, cannot contact our fathers. I understand that. I would never ever suggest that you expose yourself to that type of danger. If you send them your text, they got your number, then they can track you. I understand. If you send a letter, they got the address, they'll track you. I understand. But there's some way you can do it. There's got to be a way that this can happen while protecting yourself. Maybe you're not at a place where you can even see them in the room. Maybe you're not at a place where you can hear their voice. Maybe you cannot do that. But somehow, some way, and it's going to be hard, but the Bible is hard. Sorry, the Bible is hard. Somehow, some way, find a way to honor your father if he is still living, and even if he's passed. Find ways to honor your father, while protecting yourself. Now, I know many of you are probably getting on me and saying, well, you talking about us and what we need to do, and you know, a father's worthy of honor by being a father and whatnot. Well, why don't you talk to the fathers? Well, here we go. What makes a father worthy of honor is also raising you the right way. Now, what do I mean by this? Keep in mind that Paul is talking to Christians. He says this, fathers, Christian fathers, church fathers, deacons and musicians and pastors and preacher fathers. He says, don't stir up anger in your children. Don't stir up anger. That means don't provoke them. Don't, they mad, and you know how sometimes, and fathers, we know, sometimes they mad, and you just make them more mad just because you can. Don't abuse your authority, fathers. You have been given authority by God, and that's what the scripture is talking about, is those that have been given authority need to use their authority well. We ought not to abuse our authority in any way, shape, or form. And that means right after hearing that the children are supposed to honor us and whatnot, don't just say that, you know, I deserve it, so you better honor me. See, don't provoke people. Don't stir up anger in your children. But bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And in some verses read training as discipline. And that's the reason that's used is because that word means like a training, but it's like a corrective type of training. It's a training where you want them to go the right way, and sometimes you have to kind of keep them in line. And here is the point that Paul is making. See, it's easy to discipline with toughness. It's hard to discipline with teaching. From a father's standpoint, it's easy to just get mad and just yell and just feel like, since I'm the biggest and strongest and loudest person in the house, you gonna listen to me. That's easy to do. You know, try to use toughness. However, that usually stirs up anger. Unfortunately, some of us have images of fathers who tried to raise us with toughness. You know, just yell at us. Just be mad at us. Just tell us what to do. Bark out orders. That's lazy fathering. It's lazy fathering. Because it's easy. Anybody could yell. Anybody could, you know, do all of that. But what's hard is to teach. See, because teaching involves understanding who you're teaching to. Teaching involves understanding why your child is mad, why your child is sad, why your child is upset, why your child is not cleaning their room, why your child is failing in school, why your child is being disrespectful. That takes effort from a father to sit down and talk with their son or daughter and try to understand them, and then to offer, look, biblical teaching to correct them. That takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work. And that's why Paul is telling these Christian fathers, you need to put in the work. Yes, you work all day. Yes, you work all night. Yes, you're tired. But you got to put in the work when you are raising your kids. You can't just yell at them all the time. You can't just punch a hole in the wall and everybody's got to listen to you now. You've got to understand that your child feels lonely, and that's why they're acting out in school, because they don't feel like they have any support at home. And so when you reassure them that you love them and that you will take care of them, and that even though there might be some bullies in school, or even though there might be some problems between the mom and the dad, that is no excuse for acting out. You don't yell at them, you don't do that, but you correct them through teaching. That the Lord is with them, that the Lord will guide them, and that he will work this out. You discipline with teaching, not simply toughness. And we ought to remember that we are modeling a relationship with our Heavenly Father. That is scary to me, that the way my son Jason is going to see God, his relationship with God, is heavily dependent on his relationship with me. That is pressure. That is pressure. That if I just want to be tough and yell at him and all that, that's how he's going to see God. It's just, all you doing is just yelling at me. All you doing is just telling me what I ain't doing. All you doing is, that's why I don't even want to be here no more. And Jason will never realize until way later, maybe, that it's because, no, it was my relationship with me. It wasn't because God was getting on his case. It wasn't because God was doing all that. He just thought I was God, or that God was me. We're modeling a relationship with our Heavenly Father. So what makes us honorable fathers, is when we raise the right way. Let me end this. Jesus obeyed his Father. Jesus, the one that we follow, the one that we worship, Jesus obeyed his Father. And obedience looked like going on a cross and dying for other people's sins. In fact, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was saying, Father, if it's possible that you would, what, remove this cup. Let me translate that. Jesus is telling the Father, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do it. I don't want to be responsible for everybody else's. I don't want to have all this wrath come on me. I don't want to do this. Like me personally, I don't want to do this. But he said, if your will be done. He obeyed his Father because the Lord was his Father. He obeyed him by going on a cross. He obeyed him by dying for our sins. And he obeyed him on the third day when he got up from the grave. And just as if we obey our fathers, or if we honor our fathers, we'll have a long life in the land. The reason we have eternal life is because of Jesus's obedience. So the message is that we need to be like Jesus to our fathers, and we need to be like the Father to our kids. Now, I know this is the ranking bottom five sermon, so let me close it. This subject of honorable fathers, it's hard. It's hard to preach. And again, I was kind of going back and forth with the Lord. I said, I don't even want to preach this. I don't think people are going to believe me and whatnot, especially because I have such a great dad. You know, it's hard to preach something like this to people who have gone through things that I have not gone through. It's hard to do this, but God wanted me to make sure that you know that honor goes both ways, but it doesn't need both ways. You don't honor your father so that your father can finally honor you. You honor your father because that is what you are supposed to do. Because you have a heavenly father who you love and adore and lift up and honor. And he said, for whatever reason, he's going to bless us, he's going to take care of us. But for whatever reason, just honor your father. Whatever honor looks like, if it's a text, if it's a card, whatever honor looks like, honor your father because he is your father. And don't expect the honor back. However, fathers, we need to make sure we are honorable. Even when our kids don't think so. We may know we're a great dad and our kids hate us. Still bring them up in instruction and wisdom. Still love them. Still care for them. Because again, we have a Father in heaven who knows what it's like to be disrespected by us, by you. And he still loves us. And he still cares for us. And he's still doing things for us. Honor goes both ways, but it does not need both ways.